It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International with Dr. E.K.D. Quick. With your Bible in hand and your heart open to learn, let's join the teaching in progress.
From the book of Jude. The book of Jude is just before the book of Revelation. The book of Jude is the Acts of the Apostates. In contrast to the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, or the Actions of the Apostles, the Actions of the Early Church, the book of Jude is the Acts of the Apostates, the actions and the characteristics of the apostates. What is an apostate? An apostate is an individual that believes a lie is the truth, and the truth is a lie. Even though individuals may witness truth to them, they still see through the filter of a heart rejecting Jesus Christ and see the truth as a lie, and the lie is a truth. These are defectors of Christianity. These are traitors of Christianity. Individuals that believed at one point, but then shipwrecked their faith. The Bible says, in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. Individuals cannot depart from the faith unless they were already in the faith. Individuals that have shipwrecked their faith and gone astray, they believe a lie is a truth, and the truth is a lie. Apostates are different from those who have backslidden. Backsliding is a continual lifestyle change that's retrogressing back to the things we used to do. Apostates different in that it's an individual who's gone beyond backsliding and has given themselves over unto that lifestyle completely, changing their allegiance from God to the things of the world. They've gone back into the world wholeheartedly, turned their back on Christ, and as a result, they've moved past backsliding, and now they are an apostate, a traitor in their heart to the faith of God, and their patriotism, their Christian heart, has gone to another. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 gives us a little background on apostates, individuals with a reprobate mind. Verse 28, chapter 1 of Romans says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, individuals chose not to continue to believe in Jesus Christ. Individuals chose not to continue to believe that God was their source of salvation. They pushed God out of their life, and God gave them over to their own reprobate mind. God did not give up on them. God never gives up on anybody. God is long-suffering, not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God does give individuals over to their own choices and their own devices, and allows them to be agents of free moral choice. And if individuals choose to go astray, God will leave them over to their own reprobate mind. A dangerous place to be left to our own selves. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 12, there was a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's very dangerous for individuals to be left to their own devices, to their own way of thinking, to their own reprobate mind. This is the genesis of apostates, individuals who are defectors and traitors of the Christian faith, shipwrecked their faith, have gone astray, God giving them over to their own choices, their own devices, their own reprobate mind. The book of Jude, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. This is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. We know that from Scripture. Matthew 13:55 says, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? This is not Judas Iscariot. This is Judas, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, distinguished by being here in Matthew 13:55 along with James, the other half-brother of Jesus Christ. This is not James Zebedee, or the brother of John. This is James and Judas, half-brothers of Jesus Christ. These individuals did not believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah until after the resurrection. The Bible says in John chapter 7, verse 5, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." So after the resurrection, the brethren came to believe Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And this gives us hope never to give up on anybody who we're praying for, who we may be witnessing to, who we may be preaching to or ministering to. They may not get it the first time, but we continue to pray, we continue to intercede for them, and praying that they will receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says, "One man planteth, another man watereth, and God gives the increase." Verse 1, "To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called." Believers are set apart and sanctified by God the Father. We were not a people, but now we are a people of God, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, set apart and sanctified. It says here, preserved in Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, "Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied." This is a blessing. This is a greeting. This is how individuals greeted each other in the Bible days. They spoke blessings upon each other. They knew the principle that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There's power in speaking life. We should greet each other with blessings as we see each other each day. God bless you. God be with you. Peace be unto you, and love be multiplied in Jesus Christ. Verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." The common salvation. It's a common salvation because it's common for all and open to all. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's for rich, it's for the poor, it's for black and for white, no matter what race, creed, or culture. It's a common salvation, Jew and Gentile alike. It's for all to partake of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 10, "The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 4, "Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth." All men to be saved. Does the scripture mean that all men shall be saved? No, it does not. The Bible says, "Many are called, few are chosen." The Bible says, "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have done many wonderful works?" And Jesus Christ shall say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity." No, this scripture is meaning there is an opportunity for all men to be saved. For when Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world, the veil of the temple was ripped in twain and ripped in two to provide access for all individuals to God through Jesus Christ. It does not matter what that individual's background may be. God can save us from the guttermost to the uttermost. It does not matter what our background may be or what we have done. Jesus Christ paid the price in full on the cross of Calvary. And Jesus Christ said, "On the cross, it is finished." He did a complete work and died for the sins of the world, our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins. The Bible says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." The Bible says here in the book of Jude, verse 3, "Not only is it the common salvation, but we should earnestly contend for the faith." Earnestly contend for the faith. An example here is in verse 4, "For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." So we see here, earnestly contending for the faith speaks to putting to silence individuals that promulgate false doctrine, not by force, but by speaking the truth of Scripture. For example, there are basically two ways, there are many ways, but there are basically two ways the enemy attacks the church. He does that through outward persecution, persecution and pressure and tribulation from outside the church, and then number two, false doctrine from within the church. False doctrine from within the church. Individuals that give false teaching and cause individuals to go astray because of their false teaching. For example, verse number 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Excellent example can be found in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It says here, but shun and profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Here we see how these two individuals, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16 through 18, Hymenaeus and Philetus began to teach that they missed the resurrection, that individuals missed the rapture. Through this false teaching, through this false doctrine, they caused many to shipwreck their faith. For many probably said in their hearts, why live for Jesus now? Why serve God now? We've missed the rapture. We've missed the resurrection. Why live for God? And individuals may have given up because of this false doctrine. That's why Paul was so strong in his admonition to the Galatian churches. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which he have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you which that ye have received, let him be accursed. So Paul is saying, no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. No other truth but the truth that's in Scripture. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. The Bible says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Bible says in the book of 1 Timothy, avoid foolish questions and endless genealogies that minister questions rather than godly edifying, so do. And that's why Jesus Christ said emphatically in John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Any other way that teaches that Jesus Christ is not the only way of salvation is false doctrine. Back to Jude, verses 5, 6, and 7, we have three examples of judgment on an apostate culture, on apostates themselves. Verse 5, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. This is the individuals that were overthrown in the wilderness. Individuals that rebelled against Moses in the wilderness, and God destroyed them. The Bible says they could not enter in because of unbelief. So, an example of the children of Israel who were delivered out of Egypt rebelled in the wilderness, and they were judged severely. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Another example of judgment on an apostate culture. These are the angels that left their own habitation, their own living dwelling body, as it were, their spiritual body, and they broke ranks and violated this natural dimension in order to disrupt and destroy the seed of men, to try and keep the Messiah from coming and infect the seed. We know this from Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. These are the angels spoken about in Jude. And they bare children to them. The same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. These angels left their spiritual habitation, came into this natural dimension, and fornicated, if you will, with women in the natural to destroy and to infect and to keep the Messiah from coming. The Messiah was promised back in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And ever since then, the devil has had an onslaught on the Jewish people to try and destroy and keep the seed from coming. He did that with Haman. He did that with this attack in Genesis chapter 6. And he did it with other attacks. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. In other words, these particular angels were bound up now in the lower parts of darkness because of that filth and fornication that they were doing. The Bible says in the book of Jude, his angels he charged with folly. These are the angels that rebelled in heaven. A portion of them, when they were cast down to the earth, left their spiritual habitation and violated this natural habitation in order to disrupt and infect the seed of women to keep the Messiah from coming. Another example of judgment on apostate culture, verse 7 in the book of Jude. And even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Here we see the judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah and the suburbs, the cities about them, in like manner. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2, verse 6, he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He rained down fire and brimstone, condemned them with an overthrow, made them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. These are individuals that were judged according to their apostate culture. Verse 8, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Individuals such as apostates will always speak evil of authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. The Bible says in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 2, they are presumptuous, they are self-willed, they despise authorities. Verse 9, the book of Jude, and yet Michael the archangel, when he contended with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. This is a quote from Zechariah chapter 14. This is the contrast to the apostates that despise authority. This is speaking to the humility of Michael the archangel, who was more powerful than the devil, than Satan, yet he does not rail against him in accusation. He just rebukes him with the authority of God. And this example is given because Moses died in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. Yet Moses was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17. And Moses will be one of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. So the work and the ministry of Moses was not yet done. And Michael the archangel disputed over the body of Moses with the devil, but yet he rebuked him, and instead of using a railing accusation against him, just rebuked the devil, because that body was needed, because the ministry of Moses was not yet done. Verse number 10, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. This is speaking of Genesis chapter 4, the murder of Cain. The error of Balaam, or the greed of Balaam, Numbers chapter 22, and through Numbers 25. This is Balaam, which was hired to curse the children of Israel. But yet he was unable to curse the children of Israel, because you cannot curse what God has blessed. So what Balaam did was he got with the Moabitess women and caused the children of Israel to fall into fornication. And despite Balaam being unable to curse the children of Israel, he knew that God would judge them based on their fornication. The Bible speaks about Balaam in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, which have forsaken the right way and have gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. He was hired to cause the children of Israel to fall. Verse 12 and verse 13, back in Jude. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about with winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Verse 13, raging waves of the sea, forming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. These are individuals that speak mightily, yet they speak of nothing. The analogy here is that dark clouds coming over the horizon, and we anticipate a refreshing downpour on our crops or to fill our wells with water, and yet these clouds do not produce. The analogy here is going across the desert, and we're in thirst, parched, needing refreshment, and we see a well, and we rush up to the well, and yet the well is empty. These apostates can offer the world, yet they really offer nothing, because they do not offer Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." Jude 14 and 15, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to commence all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them." This is a direct quote. Zechariah chapter 14 speaks about how we are going to come back with the Lord. Verse 5, "And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee." In Revelation chapter 19, verse 14, we are going to come back with the Lord Jesus Christ to reign and to rule with him. Before the rapture, we go up to be with him in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we come back with him after the rapture to reign and to rule with him. Spoken of here in the prophecy of Enoch, written in the book of Jude 14 and 15, spoken of in Zechariah 14, spoken of in Revelation 19. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "Know ye not that the saints shall judge the world?" The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 also, "Know ye not that ye shall judge angels?" God has something planned for you and I. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard. God has something planned for you and I. Verse 16, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." These are individuals that speak boastfully, yet they speak of nothing. These are individuals that speak flattering words in order to gain an advantage from others. Verse 17 and 18, "But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts." 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 speaks of a mocker's response to the coming of Christ, speaking, "Where is the coming of the Lord?" But the Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering. The Bible says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his wicked way. God loves everyone and is longing and waiting for each individual to turn to him. God is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back, no matter what the scoffers might say. If I preached to you last year that Jesus Christ is coming, he's 1 year closer. If I told you 6 months ago that Jesus Christ is coming, he's 6 months closer. If I told you last month that Jesus Christ is coming, he's 1 month closer. If I told you last sermon that Jesus Christ is coming, he's 1 sermon closer. If I told you during the last witness that Jesus Christ is coming, he's one witness closer. He is coming. He is coming soon. The Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Jesus. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. The Bible says Jesus Christ is coming back for a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. Jesus Christ is coming back. His promises are true, and his promises are amen. Jude verse 19. These be they which separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit. Even as we separate ourselves from the things of the world that may cause us to go astray, these apostates are separate from the Lord. They do not have the Holy Spirit of God. They are sensual. They are fleshly. They are driven by the appetites and desires of the flesh. They are driven by the appetites and dictates and the feelings of the flesh. The Bible teaches that we are to be Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled, and Spirit-empowered. The Bible says, if you be led by the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We are to pray in the Spirit, whether this is praying in silent, or praying out loud, or praying in tongues. We are to be led by the Spirit of God and not by our own will. Not having self-centered prayers, but to pray according to His will. The Bible says, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions or the prayer requests that we have desired of Him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We ought to pray in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6 speaks that part of the armor of God is prayer. We ought to pray without ceasing. The Bible says to be instant in prayer. Have an active prayer life that's led by the Spirit. Praying according to God's word and God's will and not our own self-centered devices. Verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Without the love of God in our life, then all this is for naught. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and have all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, love, it profiteth me nothing. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, everlasting life, living with God forever and ever, time without end. Verse 22 and 23, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. For some, we ought to be moved with compassion, making a difference. In other words, just as Jesus Christ in the book of Luke many a time was moved with compassion before he came to do a miracle or became to speak the word of God, he saw individuals that needed deliverance, that needed healing. He was moved with compassion, sympathy, empathy. We ought to have that same compassion, that same love for our neighbor. To be moved with that compassion as a motivation to open our mouth to give them the love of God and the words of Jesus Christ. On contrast, in verse 23, others we save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. We see that some may be in a burning building, the burning building of life, where their life is falling apart, and they need intervention quickly. They need to be told that something's got to change quickly, or you're headed for destruction. And we see them in a burning building of life, and we rush in and snatch them from that burning building to save a life. This is the hastiness of wanting to witness, the sense of urgency to redeem the time, to want to cause all that we can to hear the good news of Jesus Christ and to be saved. The Bible says here in verse 23, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. This speaks of a desire for holiness and righteousness, not just for ourselves, but for others. Verse 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. This is a promise to keep us from falling. You can be kept if we desire to be kept. The Bible says that even though that individual was at the potter's house and that clay was broken and reshaped it and remolded time and time and time again at the potter's house, the one constant is that that clay, the one constant of that clay at the potter's house is that it never leaves the potter's hand. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The Bible says, I have been young, and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaking, nor a seed begging bread. Psalm 37. God will keep us. We are his children. We have been adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. We have been birthed into the family of God through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus. We are now sons and daughters of the Most High God. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. God loves us. God will keep us. And we shall be presented by Jesus Christ before God as pure, as holy, as chaste. Paul said to the Corinthian church, I have espoused you unto Christ as a chaste virgin. We have been washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are clean. We are pure. We are washed because our sins were judged on Jesus Christ, and now we have received the gift of everlasting life. And on today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you have strayed away from his love and kindness, I invite you to pray with me this prayer of salvation, this prayer of rededication. Won't you bow your head and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer? Oh God, I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Save me today. Forgive me, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Life Changing Ministries International. LCMI is a Christian non-denominational teaching ministry based solely on the Holy Bible, dedicated to pleasing God, glorifying Jesus Christ, and ensuring that the Bible is the foundation in everything this ministry proclaims and endorses. For more information, log on to our website at lifechangingministries.com. Please join us again next time for more Bible teaching. And remember, we have the victory through Jesus Christ.